grief, glorification at this particular time. I perhaps am expected to say something about Grover that you don't know of, and that's impossible. You do it, and some of you probably knew it better than I did, but we were really close. Could be in this old familiar building, isn't it? Doesn't make any difference about the temperature. Doesn't either. But, you know, everything has to change. You notice? Everything must change. Not just that it does change, it must change. Because we're moving ahead. We're headed for some place that was destined for us. We were chosen, picked out from the world to be this particular group in our lives together. And we're people with a destiny. And so we'll get there. I was thinking about some of those who have gotten there already. Some of us of all different ages, but just looking at the older ones, the first ones, before Grover, we Harry Parker, John Grimmett, Graham Pokingham, Lance still going. I understand his body is failing, but he's still going. And others that followed soon after the first one. It's just while being here, any time that you speak at a funeral or a memorial service, proves the point that be careful how you treat people. They may speak at your funeral. It goes along with be careful how you treat your kids when you choose your nursing home. Well, funerals are for the living. They're not for the dead, they're about the dead. Funerals are for the living. That's for us. For us to have a properly good time together, reflecting on lots of things. The words of the gospel and the things about growth. Another little principle that I try to employ, I'm not even finding now, I've had a number of opportunities to speak about people who are dying. And then don't say anything when you get up to talk at a funeral that you haven't already said to their face when they were alive. Good or bad, don't say anything that you haven't said to their face. It's kind of like talking behind their back. That which is not a good thing. Grover and I are close. We're brothers. Close brothers. We minister together. We worked at the medical clinic together. We lived under one roof for years together. I was ordinarily the head of the household, and Grover was like an uncle in the household. One particular time, we had, I think, 21 people in our household, and Nancy, my wife, was the only female. So, Grover got to be a real good uncle. And when all those boys, like junior high school, college age people, when those boys found out that Grover was a few months older than I was, they wanted him to be the head of the household. Because I usually had a heavier hand, and Grover had a different way of getting things done. But the main thing I guess I would say about Grover, and I don't know if I'm really adequate for it to make the point right, is that Grover was a nobody. Got that? You know Grover, he was a nobody. Just like the Lord Jesus, who from before eternity started, was a real somebody up in heaven. And then emptied everything of himself to become a human person. A nobody. To be a servant. Grover did that in his life. continually offered himself up to the Lord to get rid of the stuff of Rome and take more of the stuff of Jesus. For that, he had to be a nobody, of no desire, no great report, desire, no prominent ministry, just what the Lord wanted. And as a result, he got it. Grover was a nobody, a powerful nobody, a blessed ministering nobody, a wonderful brother nobody. Grover just wondered what the Lord wanted. So, some of the times out of our living together, when Nancy had our fifth son, Ben, we were in that 21-person household. Grover talked to the boys in the household how to change diapers. That was like herding chickens. You can't herd chickens. But he taught them how to change diapers. And a few of them got to do it. Somehow I escaped. Then at the time when Nancy Carr Newman, Robert's wife, got to sing along with him in their married life, she decided that she was going to have to teach him how to carry a tune, a past project. And she was going to stand next to him the rest of their lives together. She wanted to tune him up again. How do you do that? I don't mind. Grover and I prayed together. We forgave each other. We forgave others together. We knew what weakness and sin was together. And we just stuck together. The purpose of God in our life was to love one another and hang together. And we did. Both of us came from that excellent culture called East Texas, and best of all cultures. Grover loved to run us. We did in a car drive for several hours through East Texas. Didn't make any difference what time of year it was. Just drive through East Texas. Grover just looked at it, just delighted. Wonderful in East Texas. It was where he had been born and raised up. He loved East Texas. And finished his life in days in a small, Houston is East Texas too, but it's not like Eastern East Texas. So he got to spend the last number of years of his life in East Texas. We sometimes go in Athens, Texas, we stop in at McAllister's and sit down and get one of their big glasses of tea, and for hour and a half, sit there and drink that tea just like in Grover's boyhood days in East Texas, on the square, the city square, the guys would sit around and maybe whittle and solve the world's problems. That would not solve any problem anywhere in the world. Nothing was too complex. And we'd sit there and drink that tea on our own little private city square and solve those problems. He was a good, solid brother, and still is. We even solved, as we saw over a period of almost a year, across the street from McAllister's, as they were building a Holiday Inn, we even watched them and critiqued their methods of construction. Nothing we couldn't solve. Once when my family and I were moving out of town, and I needed some better clothes than I had, some a little more top class clothing. Grover found out about it, took me over to his closet, opened the doors, and said, "Take whatever you want and all you want." That was Grover. That was nothing for him to give his clothing. That was just what he did. He gave himself. He knew that whatever he had been given him. And he gave it as freely as he had received it himself. To that end, there is, when you leave, if you go out that way, there'll be a box that has a bunch of books, a biography about Grover. Take one. Anybody wants to just take it. I say, Grover gave himself freely. Anything about Grover goes freely also. Well, an example of him giving himself, he quit his job as a welder in a refinery in order to work full time here at the church, shepherding a group of people that varied from 12 to 20 all day long, as people who needed close care in their lives, as the Lord had delivered them and was firming up their souls. They needed 24/7 pastoring, shepherding. And so in the daytime, in the nighttime, they'd go to their respective homes here around the neighborhood. The daytime, they needed shepherding. So Grover quit his job and had John Brennan before him and spent all day here at the church room. Work them for a little while, sit down with them and teach them for a little while, talk about the life situation for a while, pray with them, teach them a little Bible, work them again. That went on all day long as he raised them up. That's what they needed. It's like being in intensive care in a hospital. Grover provided intensive spiritual care, brotherly care. But he was a shepherd at that point of lambs. Remember when Jesus told Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." Sheep, grown-up sheep, are in tune with the shepherd. They know the shepherd's voice and follow him. Lambs don't know the shepherd's voice. They don't know how to follow him. They don't know why to follow him. They'll have their own things they want to do. They want to be themselves, which is a dangerous thing. And so, lambs key on the mother sheep. And Grover was a mother sheep in that respect. The lambs keyed on him. They fed on him. He gave themselves to them. And they grew up to learn the shepherd, learn about the shepherd, and hear the shepherd's voice. I would say that, and I didn't get this from Grover, but I would say Grover didn't try to make a mark in life. He didn't try to develop a legacy. He gave himself to people, and he left it up to the Lord to make the mark in different people. And he did. That's why we're all here today, because Grover's life was used by the Lord to make a mark on us. Lots of times, it's kind of a natural, not a very good spiritually healthy thing, but a natural thing, that the people who have the biggest ministries, or the bigger warriors, they're known for a long time afterwards. But the peacemakers, the peacekeepers, are not remembered very long. I'm going to remember Grover a long time. He was a peacemaker, a peacekeeper. And he blessed me and others with peace. It'll be good to see him again. pick up the book, take it with you.